You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Sooner or later, everything old is new again. That's a quote from author Stephen King, but it applies nicely to our relationship with our clothing and how we buy it. Things like mending old clothing and buying used items have become popular, even trendy in recent years. Even during COVID-19, secondhand shopping sites like eBay and Depop have seen a big increase in sales. There's also a growing number of consumers who, when buying new, want to know more from the companies making their clothes, like who made it, where, and under what conditions. All this is often put under the umbrella of sustainable fashion, something that's become a bit of a buzzword. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you try to buy clothing from smaller and or sustainable businesses? Have you made an effort to buy used clothing, vintage or thrifting? And do you repair and mend your clothes to make them last longer? And do you look for durable stuff, maybe more than you used to when you're buying something new? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Sarah Eichhorn is a fiber artist who focuses on sustainability and connecting with nature. She currently teaches at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, including most recently a course titled The Anti-Fashion of Fashion. Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me be a part of the conversation.
Yeah, what do you mean by the anti-fashion of fashion?
Yeah, the course that I taught in the fall at MIAD was really focusing on the behind-the-scenes ideas, things that we don't maybe sometimes see in the news within the fashion industry. We talked about things related to the environmental impact of the industry, inclusivity within the industry, and our relationship with our clothing.
I've seen a couple different articles lately, Sarah, in going in exactly the opposite directions. One, some of the things I was just talking about, people interested in durable clothes, worried about the environmental impact, buying used things. But also, even during the pandemic, interest in fast fashion, even more interest in stuff that, you know, is cheap, quick, and doesn't necessarily last that long. Are these both trends you see going on right now?
Definitely. I just read an article in The Atlantic yesterday that talks exactly about that and just how, you know, there's so many different target markets. And so it really kind of just goes back to who is shopping, where are they shopping, and what are they looking for? But also then, you know, trying to educate the public on what's really happening with some of these big companies that are fast fashion.
And then on the flip side, during the pandemic, have you seen people maybe more interested in getting back to basics and learning, I don't know, how to mend those socks? I've tried to darn socks. It didn't go well. But trying to learn how to do those kind of things to make the clothes they have last longer as maybe part of thinking about sustainability?
Absolutely. I think the pandemic has given us quite a bit more time to be at home. And not only that, but just thinking about, you know, we're at home, but we're in front of our screens at home, too. So what can we do to, you know, take a break from the screens and do something with our hands and kind of clear our minds, too? It's almost meditative, you know, when you get into mending and stitching and whatnot. So I could definitely see people going through their closets and, you know, really kind of developing a new relationship with some new, with some older pieces of clothing that they might own.
You work with younger people and your students who obviously have an interest in design and fashion, maybe hope to have careers in the industry themselves. Do you hear, what kind of things do you hear them talking about when it comes to sustainability in the industry or lack of same?
These students definitely have their pulse on sustainability, but with like fresh eyes. You know, for it's obviously, like you mentioned, it's been a buzzword, you know, within the news for quite some time. But these students really, you know, are taking it all to heart. They're interested in upcycling. They're interested in, you know, shopping secondhand as well. And shopping secondhand doesn't mean thrift stores, like maybe what it might have meant, you know, long ago. Secondhand could be upscale shops online. You know, there's so many different platforms now where you can sell your clothes, you know, just through your phone today as well. So I think they have a fresh perspective on it. And again, are taking it to heart that they want to act on it. They want it to be not just a trend, but something that has some longevity and can lead to some real change.
You mentioned upcycling. That's something we've talked about on the show a time or two over the years. What is it? And can you give us some examples of what it might look like?
Yeah. Upcycling is the idea of taking something that, you know, is old, but turning it into something new or using it for a new purpose. It's great, you know, something like bed sheets that can be dyed a different color or, you know, just printed upon and then become a quilt, or it can be cut up and turned into a shirt, or even lounge clothes for where we're at in today's world with the pandemic. So it's really, it's the idea of taking something old and making it new again, but it also just being, you know, for art purposes or for functional wearable purposes.
We're talking about sustainable fashion. People may be being more interested in durable clothes. Things are going to last a long time, and mending our clothes, making them last longer. Sarah Eichhorn is with us, a fiber artist, currently teaches at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your own thoughts, experiences, and maybe secondhand finds. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to a caller now. We've got Jake with us in Appleton. Jake, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. What did you want to tell us about, Jake?
Just wanted to say, as an avid outdoorsman, I tend to find that vintage wool clothing is a lot more durable and a lot warmer than more modern and conventional clothing that's made of polyester and nylon. So I really seek that stuff out when I'm at resale shops and other places. So I think it's a great idea, and I am totally with the movement for people looking for those and reusing that.
And Jake, I got to ask, is this something you discovered, you know, later on down the road after experiencing the other stuff for a while?
Yeah, I actually had a hand-me-down from a deceased relative, and it turned out fantastic in the field, and now it's my go-to.
Jake, thanks so much for sharing that. So, Sarah, in some cases, they really don't make them like they used to?
Oh, absolutely. And hearing that, just like, I have the biggest smile on my face right now. I have such a affinity for wool, and I love, you know, it's just such a great fiber for so many different purposes, and there's really nothing like it, especially during these cold Wisconsin winters.
Thanks a lot for sharing that, Jake. And that makes me think, Sarah, you know, this is something that somebody wore presumably for years in their life and was able to hand down to somebody else, contrasted with, I mean, my understanding of some of the fast fashion out there is, you know, you might get away with wearing it 5-10 times before it kind of goes to it kind of becomes unwearable.
Absolutely. I mean, you're lucky when you say 5-10 times. Most people will throw away up to 75% of the clothing that we wear every year if it falls into that fast fashion category. Because, yeah, it just does not hold up after those initial few washes.
On the durability question, something I've heard, and correct me if this isn't true, that as a guy who wears men's clothing, I benefit from generally having more durable clothes. The stuff I go to the store and buy on average is going to last longer than someone who's wearing clothes designed for women. Is that about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Men's clothing hasn't really changed very much, you know, over the last century. It's just been, the silhouettes and the fibers that are used have always, you know, there's a standard set there, whereas women's clothing has definitely, you know, branched out more in silhouettes and also using a lot more of synthetic fibers. And so those are some of our biggest pollutants, and those are the ones that don't hold up as long. They don't last as long.
We're talking to Sarah Eichhorn, who teaches at Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, including most recently a course titled The Anti-Fashion of Fashion. We're talking about sustainability in the clothing industry, and we want to hear your thoughts, your stories, and your questions at 800-642-1234. You're shopping for clothes in a store when you can or online. What matters? What are you looking for? Are you thinking about low price? Are you thinking about high quality, sustainability? What went into making it? Do you shop secondhand? Why? Is it for sustainability, to save some money on cool stuff? And are you someone who mends your clothing, somebody who stitches up that old sweater instead of replacing it? And do you have a favorite secondhand find that you just want to tell us about? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation talking about sustainable fashion, from buying more durable, long-lasting clothes to darning your sweater instead of buying a new one, or buying used one way or another. Sarah Eichhorn is with us. She teaches at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. Her most recent course, titled The Anti-Fashion of Fashion. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you try to buy clothing with durability in mind? Do you wonder who made your clothes in the first place and what kind of conditions they were made under? Do you buy secondhand when you can? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Before we go back to our callers, Sarah, you briefly touched on this earlier. I was hoping you could expand on it. The conditions under which clothing are made, the working conditions, the environmental conditions, what kind of concerns do people have about that?
I feel like it was in the 90s when, a lot of the labor of the fast fashion or fashion companies was exposed. And I feel like it's become slightly desensitized over time. But the reality is it still exists. We still have labor concerns and issues and things that need to be paid attention to with these larger companies and how our clothes are made. And really, when it comes down to, say, part of the sustainable umbrella, labor's underneath there. And there's research that needs to be done. And a lot of these companies need to be held accountable for their labor practices.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Kathy is with us in Milwaukee. Kathy, hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I made my first clothing purchase in a year last week. And sadly, it was for sweatpants because I desperately need more. I've been wearing the few pair I have out. And I've been thinking a lot about clothing lately, and seriously, I'm dreaming about it too, because I really miss colorful fashion. And I wasn't a very super adventurous, fashionable person before, but I have a big urge to change my style when COVID is over and I'm out in the public and meeting people. I want to dress a lot more colorfully. For me, of course, I love resale because there's so much more variety when you go to resale shops. It's just more, there's so few department stores left anymore and not a lot of variety. So that's my go-to is resale shops and things. But I'm going to be changing my sense of fashion when this COVID isolation ends.
Wow, how interesting, Kathy. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sarah, I'm going to guess that Kathy's probably not alone. We're going to have this floodgate opened post-COVID of people maybe shopping and dressing in a different way.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we know that this has all impacted us in a variety of ways. And for some of us, our bodies have changed, so our wardrobes might change. But I think there will be, an urgency for color and vibrant things to bring happiness back to us as well. So
thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go to Amber now in Hobart. Amber, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about, Amber?
I was actually really loving this segment. I'm a practicing zero waster, so I do my best to produce as little trash or impact on the environment as I can. So I've actually been repairing my clothes or buying secondhand for the past couple of years.
Interesting.
So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, Amber, did you grow up like knowing how to knit or sew or darn socks? Or is this something you've learned as part of this zero trash effort?
I'm actually a fiber artist, so
okay.
I've always known how to sew. This is the first time I've put it to such a mundane use, but I'm loving it.
Interesting. Amber, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Sarah, a fellow fiber artist there. Have you heard anecdotally, at least, Sarah, that more people are interested in stitching up that piece of clothing instead of either getting rid of it or demoting it to weekend wear only?
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, it goes back to back to the relationship with our clothing, and that there is no shame in in repairing our clothes. We don't need to feel ashamed for, wearing the same jeans for 20 years in that there's a bunch of patchwork on there. It can really be approached, the idea of mending can be approached as art, really, because there's so many different stitch patterns and thread colors and patches and things like that that you can use to repair your clothing, that it really can turn the piece into a one-of-a-kind piece with a lot of memories and history to it as well.
Thanks a lot for that call. We had a conversation on the show, it's been a few months, Sarah, about sewing machines being sold out and repair shops having huge backlogs as people, you know, they had more time, they couldn't leave the house so much, so they're gonna try repairing or even making clothing more. Do you see that interest from where you're standing?
Yes, definitely. And again, I think that goes back to the need of doing something with our hands, kind of clearing our heads. Developing that relationship with something we made and the knowing that we made it ourselves and was part of the entire process. I think that's very important. And there's a, you know, pride that goes into that.
We're talking to Sarah Eichhorn, fiber artist, instructor at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, looking at interest in sustainable clothing and all that that means, getting more durable stuff, getting secondhand stuff that's still in good shape, fixing our clothes and more. Taking your stories and calls at 800-642-1234. Lori joins us next in Duluth. Lori, hello.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
I sure can. What's your story, Lori? Oop, accidental rhyme there. Sorry.
My story is that I found a secondhand wedding dress from, at the time it was called Bridals by Bethany. Right now it's just West Duluth Sewing. But originally it would have been a $1,500 dress I got for $500.
Awesome. Is that over the last year, Lori, or is this in the distant past?
Just over a year ago, we had a COVID wedding. We got married on September 20th, 2020. That was our date.
All right. Well, congratulations. Happy almost half anniversary. I guess that's coming up. Wow. Buying wedding dresses secondhand, Sarah.
I think that's fantastic. I really think that we overlook some of those opportunities when it comes to very traditional things in our lives, events in our lives where we're supposed to be, you know, buying something brand new. And so that's fantastic to really rethink the wedding dress. I think it's something that we should really reexamine for a lot of aspects in our lives when it comes to traditional garments and knowing that they probably already exist out there. And even if they're secondhand, does that really impact the function of the garment and the meaning of the garment? So that's great.
Thanks a lot for that call, Lori. That makes me think, though, Sarah, when people are designing clothes, do they think about that sort of timelessness and their lasting power? Because I think, is there a big market, I don't know, for like 80s prom dresses, which were very much of the time and horrible?
Well, we know fashion's cyclical, so they'll probably make a resurgence at some point or another. And it really, you know, it's funny, like we have these trends today, but at the same time, there's so many trends and things move so quickly within the fashion industry that I feel like more individual style is what dominates the industry as well. And that so many people can just pull these, you know, what would be vintage garments, even our 80s prom dresses can probably count as vintage at this point, and wear them today, make them their own and not in a way that we would, you know, kind of question it.
Thanks for that call, Lori. Andrew joins us next in Janesville. Andrew, hi.
Hi. Yeah. One thing we do is we take worn out clothing and cut it into strips. And my wife, really, she then puts it on a loom and we make rugs out of it. And, you know, especially stuff that you can't even take to the thrift store. It's been a nice way to just deal with stuff that's no longer usable.
And Andrew, do you use the rugs personally? Do you give them as gifts? Where do they all end up?
Yeah, she's given away some as gifts, but yeah, we use quite a few of them in our house. We have hardwood floors, so we have plenty of places to put them.
Fantastic, Andrew. Thanks for sharing that. So, Sarah, that sounds like an example of that upcycling you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and I personally have a pile of old denim jeans that I plan to do just that, is to weave them into rugs. So that's great that, you know, that they're doing that.
And Andrew mentioned something there, clothes that, you know, the thrift store doesn't necessarily want. And my understanding, Sarah, is that a lot of used clothes, the thrift store ends up not being able to sell it, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of a behind-the-scenes thing in that so many, you know, donation places, there's so much clothing already out there that the donation places just can't accept all of it. Many of the clothes that aren't maybe of a brand name, a recognizable brand name, will get either tossed in the landfill or shipped to another country. And so there's a lot of things, especially T-shirts, that you know, if you think you're doing the right thing by bringing it to the thrift store, it probably isn't going to make it in the thrift store to be on the sales floor. So that's really, I think, you know, one thing when you think about sustainability and the fashion cycle is considering how we can purposefully find new homes for our old clothes and putting forth that little more effort to do so.
Thanks for that call, Andrew. And Sarah, in our last minute, do you and your students, for that matter, find the challenges of doing things like upcycling and using and maybe remaking secondhand things inspiring in a creative way?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, there's something to be said about like just the creative process of taking something old and making it new and fresh again, and in a non-traditional sense. So how can it be used for art? How could it be used for home goods, right? And then also clothing. And so, you know, there's a real talent in that. And again, it's very inspiring to see how the students, you know, create the relationship with the garment and then make something new with fresh eyes with it.
Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Sarah Eichhorn is a fiber artist who focuses on sustainability and connecting with nature. She teaches at the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, including most recently a course called The Anti-Fashion of Fashion. She joined us to talk about the growing interest in sustainable fashion.